Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of three opinionated guys with mics and too much free time. Strong enough to stop a speeding movie rumor, more powerful than a bad comic book event. Able to waste hours of time asking stupid questions to people who have better things to do. It's Dave, Ben, and John. It's Superhero Speak.
Hey everyone, you're listening to Superhero Speak. I'm your host Dave.
And Ben.
And John.
It's not Superhero Speak without that pause.
I'm sorry. The hotel internet isn't fast enough.
You always seem to blame the internet.
Yes.
I would tend to believe if we were in the same room, that delay would still be there.
Oh, funny.
Yes. Great. Yes, I think we could be sharing the same mic and that delay would still be there.
You know what it is? I'm catching up on Nostalgia Critic, so in one ear I'm listening to him, on the other one I'm listening to you.
I see how it is. We're not enough to capture your attention, are we?
No. Well, actually, he should be catching up on old episodes instead of that.
Perhaps. Yes. That would take too long.
Episodes of what?
Oh, I don't know. Some show that you're on.
All right, speaking of which, let's get this show on the road.
Alrighty, so, first order of business is,
pay raises?
Yes, pay raises all around. You're all getting a 10% raise.
Excellent.
10% of nothing is.
Keep a doing lot the more math. Nothing. So, last week's Stump to Geek question, which we didn't do while we actually recorded the show, because we did it too early in the week. But the question was, who is the second oldest mutant in the Marvel Universe?
Second oldest mutant. Oldest by age?
Yeah,
chronological age?
Yeah.
Not in creation order.
No.
Okay.
Creation. I don't know. Magneto really, really looks old these days, you know?
Yeah. Well, technically, I want to say Apocalypse would be the first oldest. Who would be the second oldest? I want to go with, what's the guy's name? Why can't I think of it? The guy that they, well, there's two ways I'm going, and I'm not really sure on all the backstory or history. Mr. Sinister comes to mind, but the other guy that comes to mind is a guy that was played by Kevin Bacon in, First Class, whose name I can't recall off the top of my head.
Well,
they're wrong on all counts.
They're wrong on all counts. And John, do you have a guess?
I would have gone with Sinister myself, but I'm not really sure.
Well, it turns out that I was under the impression that Apocalypse was the oldest as well.
But he's the second oldest?
But he's actually the second oldest.
And the oldest is his dad?
No, the oldest is Selene, or better known as the Black Queen from the Hellfire Club.
Oh.
And
really?
Yes, and if you look it up on Marvel's Wikipedia page, she is 15,000 years old, and Apocalypse is 7,000 years old. I believe I have those numbers correct. She kind of has a vampiric power where she, you know, sucks the life out of people, and that's how she extends her life.
Right, right.
Yeah, so, she is the oldest, and Apocalypse is the second. And that was actually pointed out to us by one of our listeners, Brent Yard, on Facebook, and so he pointed it out. We talked about it back and forth, and so he is our Geek of the Week.
Nice.
Yes. And
yay! You know when they start correcting us, that we really have to start getting T-shirts or something.
Something.
Yes. We're working on it. We're working on it. And everyone can follow him on Twitter at BW Yard. So
nice. It's
Yard is how you spell yard.
John, you presume that we're right any amount of the time.
Yeah. So
the question, I think most of the time when we're right, it's by coincidence.
Yeah, that's true. But this show is mainly opinion. So, you know,
yeah,
we're never right. So
what's this week's question, Dave?
This week's question actually comes to us from last week's guests.
Nice.
So this question comes from Face Value Comics.
I remember.
And this is a DC related question because the last couple were Marvel. So let's switch gears now back to DC.
Wait, what is this?
Finally, DC real comics.
You speak of?
Hey!
District of Columbia.
Oh, okay. So a political question. Okay.
Political question, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's not bring politics into this show. So this character was introduced in 1961.
Mm-hmm.
And he got his powers when he accidentally drank a bottle of super plastic formula that he thought was soda.
Sorry.
Okay. Who is this hero?
Are we supposed to guess at this?
Well, you know.
Should we keep it under wraps?
We'll keep it under wraps.
Okay.
And I know who you might be thinking, and
I'm thinking someone who wears a weird red jumpsuit.
Yes. And he is actually much, much older than that. He was actually introduced in 1949, I believe.
Mm.
Yeah. There's two other elastic type, heroes. So
this was an offbeat hero, but it was a good one. So I was glad that they submitted it. And I verified the facts before I.
That's usually a good thing.
Yes.
I condone that behavior.
Yes. But I trust Angela and Dave to give us good information. Not like,
more so than I trust you guys. Yeah. To give us good information. Oh, wait, did I say that out loud?
Yes, you did.
Damn it. My inner monologue thing is not working out.
No. Do you have that problem where you scream everything for your inner monologue?
Occasionally.
All right. So, that's our Geek of the Week. Something else I want to mention before we get into things here. We have a new sponsor that we're currently working with. We don't have everything set up with them yet.
Is it Schlitz Beer?
No, it's not Schlitz beer.
Oh.
And it's not Camel cigarettes either.
Ah. How are we going to get any good free stuff?
I don't know. I know. And how are we going to get the kids to listen to us?
I know.
Stop.
You got to solicit them with things like beer and cigarettes.
So you guys have heard of Loot Crate, right?
I've heard of Loot Crate, yes.
Yes. Loot Crate is a...
They send you loot in crates, I would presume.
Crates, yes. Crates.
It's a mystery gift subscription service where they send you something new each week. Well, this is a similar service. It's called Hero Crate.
Ooh.
So like Loot Crate, you sign up for them.
They send you crates of
heroes?
Of nuclear waste or...
or
no,
plastic-like
nuclear
soda
waste
substances.
Or plastic for me. Yes, there you go.
So you yourself can become a hero.
or radioactive spiders.
Radioactive spiders.
Yes.
Other types of insects.
It's a monthly mystery package themed around your favorite heroes. That's
nice.
What it is. From comics, gaming, pop culture, and more. What's inside? You get a custom t-shirt and 4 to 6 themed, hero themed mystery items and a chance to win your next crate free.
Cool.
So, you can check those guys out at herocrate.com. And they actually just introduced 3-month subscription plans. You can sign up for just 3 months to try it out. And if you don't like it, there's no obligation to keep going. You'll be hearing a lot more about them going forward. We're working out the details with them. They're new at the whole advertising game and we're working it out. But yes, I think it's a great service and everyone should go to herocrate.com right now. And sign up and tell them Superhero Speak sent you. So. What was that? Hello?
That was me going to sign up right now.
Oh. You're funny. Do you know that? Do you know you're funny?
Personally, I want the one with spiders in.
Yes. Box full of spiders.
Yes.
I would ask for the box full of bees, but I would worry that they would all start flying and the box would become weightless.
I'm starting to worry about you two. Just a little bit.
Just now?
Just now. Oh, and finally, before we go any further, I want to give a shout out to Forever Geek, forevergeek.com. They, actually did a little review of our podcast and posted on their website today.
Sweet.
Yes. So go to Forever Geek and right now it's on their front page. So I don't know how long it'll be up there.
In the day, by the way, he means on the, what is today, 21st? July 21st. So
yes.
When you're listening to this, it'll be several days or so later. Or
right.
We're recording how this quickly you get to the museum.
Yes. We're recording this the 21st. We'll be posting it on the 23rd, but who knows what'll happen in between. Hopefully that website will still be there by then.
Hopefully. Was that your last administrative detail for today?
I'm sorry, you just got weird sounding, Ben.
I said, was that your last administrative detail for the day?
That was my last administrative detail for the day, yes.
Okay.
So yes, now let's, is anything going on in the world of comic books lately? I mean, anything new?
Well, I think we're on the precipice.
When I hear about stuff.
When John hears news, that must be vocal. But we are definitely, I think we have a lot that we can talk about right now, but something tells me that in a couple of days, we're going to have a lot more to talk about, being that this is the start of San Diego Comic-Con. There will be announcements galore coming soon. However, it seemed like Marvel Comics wanted to get a jump on the announcement train and started announcing things last week. And had a glut of things they decided to share with us.
Right. Well, Comic-Con's kind of become the place to make announcements about your movies and your TV shows. And so Marvel's made some big announcements about their comic books the last few days. So, we'll start with the least shocking of them. And that would be our good friend Tony Stark.
Yes, he is moving to the West Coast where he belongs.
Yes, they're not starting up the West Coast Avengers again. As far as I understand,
it could be the way for it to be successful for once, though. If it had Iron Man at the helm.
Nice.
No, he's moving out to the West Coast, San Francisco, and yeah, he's putting on a silver and black suit.
Yes.
No.
Very slightly different design look to it as well. Very, a lot less angular, more smooth circular lines.
Right.
Should be interesting.
Does it have a bow tie painted on it too?
Not yet. Not yet, my friend.
Yes.
I heard that news as well. But they've also said that, so he'll be moving to San Francisco, which does tie a little bit closer to the way that he's operating in the movie universe, since he is in LA in the movie universe, in Malibu or wherever the heck he is.
Right.
They're also apparently turning him into more and more of an anti-hero in his coming story arc. So you're not so much, you're not necessarily sure you should always be rooting for him in the way that he's doing things.
Yeah, but that's kind of been true about him for a long time in the comic book.
True, but it goes back and forth.
Yeah, even the animations get that.
Yeah.
Right. So that was the news for Tony. Yeah, I mean, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see where that goes. Kind of think it wasn't anything really shocking. If that was the only news, it would have been like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. No, I think it, and I think though it's a change that's probably, I don't know about the suit change itself, but they really don't have a good distribution with their heroes right now. They are almost every major Marvel character is New York City based.
Right.
And
yet there are still bad guys there, for some reason.
There's,
they must be horrible at their jobs.
If I were a bad guy, I would get the hell out of New York and go to some other part of the country. I mean, at least in the Ultimate Universe, they've gone more nationwide and international with these things, understanding that the world is a bigger place. But yeah, I'm surprised we haven't seen more, diversification in where our heroes are based.
Right. Yes. No, it also kind of makes you go, well, wait a minute. If there's all these bad guys and yet all these heroes.
Well, it's sort of
what if they just eventually put a dome over New York City?
I mean, in New York.
But I think it's sort of like the Dark Knight syndrome and that when Batman cleans up, the corruption and organized crime, it creates a void and that void gets filled with, costumed villains and psychos.
Yeah, but wouldn't you, if you were if you were even halfway smart though, wouldn't you look at that and say, oh, well, yeah, they just cleaned up New York. I should go in there and then get taken down like the last five guys before me. Hey, maybe this is not such a good idea.
Perhaps. It depends on your MO. Like, for instance, if you're the Joker, you want to create that disruption. You're not really concerned about whether you're specifically going to get caught. Your point is chaos.
Right. No, that's true. So let's move on. The next piece of information. Now, those who've been following in the comic books, Captain America has had some problems lately.
Yeah, he's been getting a little geriatric these days.
Yeah, he kind of...
He's been Wolverined.
He has. He's had his super serum extracted by some otherwise unknown villain that I can't even remember the name of now.
He's called Deus Machina.
Black Nail or something like that, I want to say.
Yes.
Deus Machina. Yeah, so now he is super serumless and therefore unable to, and aging rapidly.
Right.
And therefore unable to carry on the mantle of Captain America, being neither powerful nor young and virile.
Yes. So he is being replaced by...
By some young punk kid.
By some young punk kid, which... I thought this one was an interesting choice in the fact that they had already replaced Captain America within the last 10 years, and it was his...
Bucky Barnes.
Yeah, it was his former partner, Bucky Barnes. And everyone kind of assumed maybe Bucky Barnes would just take it up
again. Stay in the role.
Yeah.
It would make sense for him to come back and do it again. But no, they went a different route with that.
Yes.
And they'd been teasing it. I'd actually seen some teasers about it. It's going to be one of these, like mentioned, two or three different possible candidates. One of which being this, woman named Jet Black, who was actually, a daughter of Arnim Zola from an alternate dimension.
Mm-hmm.
But they apparently didn't go that way. And she is powerful, so she would fit the role well. But no, they went with, Sam Wilson.
Yes, the Falcon. Which, it lends itself to a whole mess of issues in my mind.
Well, I guess
how's
my first...
How's he going to throw the shield with the wings?
That's a weird thing. Well, my question is, like, he's not a super soldier himself. He's just a normal guy who has a wingsuit. Granted, he's probably in pretty good shape, but he's not a super soldier. So, for one, can he really wield the shield that well? And, you know, how is he really going to fill those shoes, being essentially a normal guy, with the whole, and he, honestly, I would almost rather have seen it be, someone like that Jet Black character, because she's relatively unknown. She doesn't really have a claim to fame on her own. Whereas Sam Wilson does, you know, he is the Falcon, you know, what's wrong with that continuing of him being the Falcon?
Right.
I don't know.
The same argument was made, when they killed off Batman and everyone was like, oh, well, Dick Grayson should just take over. And a lot of people argued, well, but he's his own hero now. He's Nightwing.
Right. He's Nightwing.
You know, and it's almost the same thing. I mean, but that's not even, it's not even, this is even worse because Falcon has always been his own hero. He's always been Falcon. And you're going to take that away from him and make him Captain America. It's,
yeah. But if you look at the artwork for it, they show him, you know, in this Captain America-ish costume. It's sort of a hybrid between the traditional and the Steve Rogers super soldier costume, with the different, star, and wings kind of look on the motif on the front.
Right.
But he still has the Falcon wings as well. He's got the shield and the Falcon wings.
Right.
So, It's a weird, like he's taking that role, but he's not losing the old role. It seems like a strange hybrid.
So right.
Maybe they'll have something interesting in store for it. I'm not a regular reader of that comic thread. So, I probably will not be quick to come across it per se to see the details of it, but I'm curious.
Yeah. And one of the other things that bothered me is you saw some comments online, some articles like, oh, we're getting a black Captain America. And it was like, really? Is that why this is being done? It made me think. And it just reminded me of when we had, Eric Cooper on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about Miles Morales.
Yeah.
And the Ultimate Spider-Man, you know, and
right.
him comparing it to hand-me-down powers.
Yeah.
Let's create.
Why can't he be his own hero?
Right.
Why does it have to be some other familiar, power set? And it was a valid point. And granted, though, I've read the Miles Morales run of Ultimate Spider-Man, I should say. And he is a really good version of Spider-Man himself. Despite that, you know, I think they've done a good job with him. But that in mind, I think, yeah, it's on one hand, the fact that people are saying, you know, decrying a black Captain America is just stupid, but it does feel gimmicky at the same time that they're, you know, trying to diversify their lineup, their roster, by making one of their main players into an African-American character.
Yes.
When he could just as well take up a leadership role in the team, remaining as the Falcon.
Right.
And
just have Falcon replace Captain America in the Avengers. That's it. Yeah. Captain America retires. Leave it at that.
Yeah, perhaps.
Yeah. Yeah, and speaking of trying to add more diversity to their main characters and rounding out the Avengers, I think John has a lot to say about this next article. So we'll skip it and we'll move ahead.
No, hey! Big freaking nabbit.
So Thor is
handing off the hammer.
Yes, to quote one of my favorite online personalities, boobs.
So Thor is now going to be a woman.
Yes. So this confuses me a little bit, I must say.
It confuses me a lot, but you go ahead.
How I understand it to be, the character we know as Thor is not going away. He will continue to exist, but he will not wield the hammer, and he will not go by the name Thor any longer. A new character, a woman, is being introduced who will wield the hammer, who will take on the name and the role of Thor.
See, that doesn't make any sense, because when Beta Ray Bill used the hammer, they didn't start calling him Thor. He's still Ray Bill, so.
That's true. And there have been a number of people who've wielded the hammer besides Thor. So it's not, you know, I don't really have a problem with the concept of a woman wielding the hammer. What I'm trying to wrap my mind around is how this makes sense for this new character to be, quote unquote, Thor.
See, now you guys have more information than I do, because the only article I read said starting is either October or November, they're rebringing out the Thor book. So Thor number one, Thor will be a woman.
Right.
And that was the only thing that they said. Like, there was no explanation about Thor being still there.
Learned actually from the Nerdist News. They had an exclusive on that.
Now, that actually said all that on the Nerdist? Okay. Because I saw pictures online, but I thought that could have just been done by fan art or something.
No,
it was so big. It was on the Huffington Post, for crying out loud.
Yeah. it's been all over the place.
They even talked about it on The View.
I know. Well, that's where it was divulged. It was the news was first revealed by Whoopi Goldberg on The View. And in the same manner, I think it was Colbert was the one who announced the Falcon taking over Captain America thing on the Colbert
Report. See, Colbert I can understand, but The View? I mean, since when does comics get so, you know?
I don't know specifically. I think they were trying to cater to a female audience with that announcement.
Yes, grew.
It didn't seem like the right fit, though, to me. I mean, I don't watch The View. I don't know anyone offhand who watches The View. But I'd imagine, like, you know, my wife is not a comic book fan per se. She doesn't read any, but she likes the movies. She likes the characters. And knows what she knows about them mostly via what I tell her about things and what she sees in the movies. She's not watching The View. She's not in that target demographic. I don't know that there's a lot of overlap between The View audience and fans of comic books.
You know, I'm sorry, I have to interject here. One of my all-time favorite jokes on Family Guy, Stewie he gets some kind of disease. I don't remember what the whole thing is, but he ends up having to be in a bubble.
Right.
And they put him down in front of the TV, and Brian puts on The View and walks away. So Stewie has to watch it, and they have them all standing there, but instead of them talking, they're all going, buck, 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 buck. And that's pretty much what I see when I watch The View. So I figure, you know, why would they be talking about comic books? But yes, it just, here's some of the issues I have. So when they introduced Thor back in 63, something like that, 64, you know, Stan Lee and Kirby they borrowed ideas from Norse mythology. Norse mythology, and incorporated them. But
I guess they are in the North, but.
Yes, Norse mythology, I like that.
none of that Southern mythology.
They borrowed the ideas, and Donald Blake, Dr. Donald Blake, finds Thor's hammer and becomes Thor. And that's
right.
The story that they used. And then...
That's because the hammer was so heavy, you know, he became Thor. All right, that was horrible.
Well, he was the only one that was worthy to pick it up, blah, 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 blah. And that went on for years, and then Thor came and went. He died out. His book died out, came back, blah, blah. Starting somewhere 99, 2000, they relaunched Thor. And when they brought him back, okay, there's no more Donald Blake. He's just Thor.
Yeah.
They followed that in the Ultimates. They followed that in the 616 universe. He's just Thor with the hammer. And that's also the continuity that they're following in the movies.
Yes.
Now all of a sudden, forget that.
I will say,
now
though,
someone else can be Thor.
Right. Well, here's one differentiating factor. In the movie universe, as compared to the comic book universe, in both the Ultimate and in the standard universe, Thor is a god. He is a Norse god. In the movie universe, he is an alien from another realm. Another part of the galaxy or universe or whatever. They haven't really established how the realms fit. I assume they're different parts of either the universe as a whole or different parts of the Milky Way galaxy.
Right.
But whatever it is, he's an alien, part of a race that's super advanced, super strong, and lives very, very long time. So there is a difference there. But because in the comic book universe, he is a god, technically, they are mutable in that respect. Gods are mutable by faith. And so there could be some explanation there as to how Thor's gender changes because of the Norse faith itself.
So what, all his followers were just suddenly like, you know what looked better than a big hammer and a big chest plate? Boobs.
I can't disagree with that.
Oh, God.
I mean, that's a very sound theory, Tom.
Yes.
It's the effect of the internet, right?
Yes.
It was too much fan art on DeviantArt, and all of a sudden he's got boobs.
They asked, what could make Thor better? And then resoundingly, the internet said, boobs.
God.
Well, let us not forget that Thor was turned into a frog for a while in the comic book.
He was. And here's the thing, and another thing that I learned from what I've read about it is also the identity, because just like Thor, the man is going to still exist and have a different identity. This woman's not coming out of nowhere. This woman will have an identity herself, aside from just Thor. But that's apparently part of the story arc that we won't find out until much, much later. It's part of the unfolding of the story. So that should be interesting. I don't know what that's going to amount to, per se. Someone else who is worthy. So, there's that.
Well, I mean, I guess my whole real issue with this is we've all been reading comic books long enough to know this is just a trick to sell more books.
Well, yeah. We've had those conversations before. We know that these types of things are transient, that they do these things, these sort of gimmicks, all the time, literally all the time, have been doing it for decades, where they have an event where it changes everything up, and then eventually, like a rubber band, it snaps back to the way it was. So there's a good chance that this will be a temporary change, whether it lasts a year or 2 years or less, who knows. But it could be an interesting run, and it could come to an interesting outcome. What I do find interesting, though, is what was pointed out in a couple of different places that I was reading about this is these are just some of the changes as part of the upcoming Avengers Now initiative over the next year. They also mentioned a cadre of other main characters in the Marvel Now initiative over the next year, and most of them are basically, many of the characters we've seen in the movies, so a couple of the Inhumans, and some other Norse-related characters, none of the X-Men, and none of the Fantastic Four or Spider-Man. They definitely seem to be focusing on a lot of the characters that we will likely be seeing in the cinematic universe over the next couple years.
Right, right.
And that can't be coincidence.
Yeah, you think? Yeah, actually, The one picture, though, I keep seeing, it's supposed to be the new Avengers lineup is, you know, so you have female Thor, Falcon Cap, Silver Iron Man, but in that picture you also have the Scarlet Witch, Bucky Barnes, Valkyrie, who
it's,
is kind of...
I don't think that's Valkyrie. That's Angela. She's she's actually a character from the Spawn properties that they've recently reacquired.
Then you have Medusa, who is
one of the Inhumans.
Right. Doctor Strange.
Yep.
Ant-Man. And who I believe is
the fiery dude.
Well,
or Deathlok. Yes, Deathlok is in there.
Deathlok and the fiery dude.
Is Inferno. He's also one of the Inhumans.
Inferno. Okay. Right. So that's going to be your new Avengers. And
well, it's the Marvel Now initiative lineup. It's not necessarily Avengers. They're just going to be key players.
Right. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, and a final note on female Thor. I saw this posted a couple places online. I found it amusing and I felt I had to share it. If Odin is the king of Asgard, and Thor is his son or daughter.
Yes.
That would mean, and Disney owns Marvel. That would mean that Thor is now a Disney princess.
Oh.
Only if they put him in the cinematic universe.
Yeah.
Her, I should say.
So, yes. Look for Thor Disney princess items coming to a store near you shortly.
That would be pretty awesome, actually.
So.
Right next to Princess Leia.
So that was, other than there was one other piece of Marvel news to share, kind of. There was there were two more pieces of information to share. The one's kind of like, Marvel has announced the dates for all their upcoming movies.
Yes. Which half of the dates don't have movies listed.
Right, exactly. Yes. Like, they don't list the movies, they just list the dates. And the movies that they announced, we already knew were in the pipeline. There were no surprises. Which kind of leads me to think they're going to announce at least some of them at Comic-Con this weekend.
Yeah, I think we're going to fill in a lot of those blanks in the course of this week.
Yeah, so...
You know, out in Hall H.
Yeah, so we won't talk about it too much, just acknowledge that we know that that happened, but I'm not going to start throwing out speculation like, oh, Ant-Man 2, Black Panther, blah, blah, blah. Like, no, let's let Marvel tell
us.
Ant-Man
2 versus Black Panther. No.
But the other thing, this was from The Guardian, and Kevin Feige was being interviewed by them. Because there's been a lot of criticism of Edgar Wright leaving, Ant-Man movie.
Right.
Simon Pegg has actually made some comments recently online about it. And basically the criticism is that, oh, well, Marvel is too afraid to do Edgar Wright's version of Ant-Man, and that's why they parted ways.
Right. And a lot of people have made the assumption of, and Simon Pegg is pouring gasoline on the fire.
Yes. Yes. Angry British man.
Yes.
Yeah.
But Kevin has been vocal about it lately, because I think that, well, rightly so, he's got to defend his side of things, that from what he said, it was, you know, and they said this was even a discussion he and Edgar had. It's like, well, what do we tell people about this? And he said, well, it's creative differences.
Mm.
Like, yeah, but that's what everyone always says in these types of situations. And Edgar's like, yeah, but this time it's true.
Right.
And they're still not really being all that forthcoming on the specific details, just that what Marvel wanted out of Ant-Man and what Edgar Wright wanted to do with it didn't quite mesh together.
Right.
You know, how it didn't mesh with what they wanted for the cinematic universe.
Right. I mean, this has definitely been, it's so funny because usually when things like this happen, it becomes a he said, she said from both camps.
Sure.
Back and forth, like, oh, he quit. Oh, they fired me. And,
right. But you don't really see that happening.
But here. you're not seeing it. What I'm saying, what's interesting about this is you're not seeing that from Edgar Wright or Marvel. You're not seeing that. What you're seeing is it from people like Simon Pegg and...
Right. By peripheral people, friends of the...
Right.
Of either side.
Josh Whedon has made comments, other people, and it's like, this is weird. It's like, they obviously parted ways of good company, but other people are trying to turn it into something it's not. Right. You know, basically, you know, Feige was like, wait, we're afraid? Look at Guardians of the Galaxy. Have you seen our lineup? We're doing Guardians of the Galaxy. What do you mean we're afraid of his version of Ant-Man? Like, come on now.
You saw Cap 2. You saw Iron Man 3. You're seeing what we're doing with Guardians of the Galaxy. What is there for us to be afraid of doing?
Right, right, exactly. There's nothing at this
point. Although, I don't know, if Ant-Man turns out to be as good as Guardians looks like it's going to be, then this isn't a matter of fear. This is a matter of they just can't lose at this point.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Well, my only thinking is, and granted, we're probably not going to know for a long time what the real story was, is just that maybe Edgar Wright's vision of things had a more terminal ending to it than what Marvel had in mind, because they want to be able to roll Ant-Man into their cinematic universe, and if Edgar Wright had the story idea that didn't allow for that well, then, or clashed with that in some way, then that's creative differences enough to sort of cause things to come to a head.
Right, right. So, yeah, so I kind of think if you're a friend of Edgar Wright and you're listening to this, if you're work at Marvel or you're a friend of someone that works at Marvel, or if you have an opinion on this whole thing, drop it. Let's wait till the movie comes out and enjoy it.
Yeah. So wait, you're saying don't judge things before they're out?
Yes. Sometimes. No, I'm saying don't put words in the Edgar Wright's or Marvel's mouths about this situation. You know, leave all that crap out of it. You know.
So what you're saying is...
So
that was me putting words in your mouth.
Yes,
exactly. So let's move on to the other giant camp out there, and that's our good friends at DC. Here we are going to DC.
Yes,
again,
real
guys.
Comics.
Hey.
Yeah, we're getting political again. So there was a couple articles that have come out from DC this week. Not as shocking as female Thor, but so the first one we're gonna
British
talk about.
Joker.
It's Ben Affleck apparently has been vocal about not liking the Batsuit.
Yeah, but you kind of have to garnish that a bit. He's not saying he hates the Batsuit in the way that it looks or the way that it's portrayed. It's just a hassle. And
he can't breathe in it.
Right, he can't. It's difficult to get on and off. It takes a long time. It's a process just to go to the bathroom every time he has to.
Did they make the cod piece too small?
Right.
Is that
so I have a one word response for him on this matter. Yeah. He should go talk to, either Jennifer Lawrence or, Rebecca Romijn about their costume ordeals that they had to deal with, Mystique and then shut the hell up.
Or what about Beast? Don't forget Beast.
I'm sure that was no picnic either.
Right, right. No. I agree with you guys. I'm bringing it up because if he's feeling this bad about it, to talk to people in the press about it, is that going to reflect in his performance as Batman? You know, if he's not happy.
Well, I don't know the exact forum as to how it came out per se. I think people are just jumping on whatever news they can get out of this whole camp at all, because it's you know, fits and spurts. So I think he just probably made some comments like, yeah, it's kind of a pain. It takes 30 minutes to get the thing. And if I have to take a bathroom break, I have to, you know, stop the whole filming process. It is what it is. You know, I don't think he was really quote unquote complaining per se. He was just sort of making comments about it. But, he's an actor. He's going to do what he needs to do.
An actor.
So the show may go on.
Well, then again, it could also reflect in the performance of having to be a more bitter.
Yeah, it could
dark
keep him more dour looking as he's standing in the suit. That could be beneficial.
Yes.
He won't crack in any smiles when he's not supposed to be.
Yes, yes.
Because he's in this uncomfortable, you know, weird foam suit that's oppressively tight and obstructive.
But yes. I think the one thing he did mention is it is a little difficult to move in it a bit, which makes it hard to fully act out some of the scenes that he has to do.
Right, right.
Which is a more pressing issue. They should really try to be more practical in these types of things.
No, definitely. I mean, it's... Hello?
Someone's did you just rage quit? Oh.
That was not me. I mean, on the note of practicality, I remember hearing an interview with, what's her name? Carrie Fisher about playing Princess Leia. And like mm-hmm. she did the whole, you know, they had the scenes with, you know, she had that bun hair in the first movie. Right. And she said that took like an hour to do up her hair in that way. And she wasn't allowed to cut it so that it was long enough to do the hair stuff. And then like, you know, after filming was done and they were, you know, had the movie in the can, you know, there was a point where she ended up going on to SNL to, you know, to, and they were, you know, to lampoon the part or whatever, they had a sketch, and they had ready a prop of like bun hair in an earmuff form that she could just put right on and, you know, in no time at all. I'm like, why didn't the set people think of this? Why didn't I have this for the movie? He said you had to sit in a chair for an hour and a half to get your hair done.
Right. So. No, and it's true too. I mean, you know, going back to Keaton's Batman with the molded armor bodysuit and forward to Christian Bale in armor, not being able to move his head in the first, Batman Begins. And it's just like, people, it doesn't make any sense. It's not practical.
Yeah.
Like, he needs
right,
to be
for a grounded approach. These things need to be addressed.
Right.
So
don't I remember that in Batman Begins though that they actually did make it so he could turn his head? They even made fun of it in one of the scenes.
Right. They made fun of it. It was a thing that came up actually in The Dark Knight. Is like they ended up redesigning the suit towards the beginning of the movie because of mobility issues.
Right. He couldn't turn his head.
Right. So he ended up having Lucius Fox help him with some alterations. But there was also, I think in the article about this old Ben Affleck thing, where Christian Bale had actually made a statement years ago, whenever, about saying whoever ends up playing Batman next, just a note, make sure they make it easy to... And lo and behold, that's a problem that Ben Affleck's running into now. Apparently it's a familiar problem.
Yes. So.
And there goes Batman right by your apartment right now.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, the bat cycle just went by. So yeah, that was the news out of Batman v Superman. The other piece of information was, again, this will be filled in. This is going to be filled in this week, but, The Rock, Kevin Johnson, confirmed he is doing a movie with DC, Warner Brothers. And he said that it is a character that is on the power level of Superman. And it will be announced shortly.
Right.
He's going to be a Hyperion?
That's a Marvel character, isn't it?
So?
No, I think it's going to be Shazam.
That's the guess. Everyone's saying Shazam. Yeah. I'm still going with Black Adam. I think it would be.
Yeah, he would make a much better Black Adam, I think.
I'm going with both.
Both. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yes, yes your theory.
I'm sticking with that prediction.
Yes,
we'll see.
All right, so we'll know soon. Maybe, you know, by the end of this week, and we'll put money on it. What do you think?
Yeah, well, if it is both, do I win? Or if it's either of them, I win, right?
Wait a minute, hold on.
There. No, guys, buy dinner.
Buy dinner? Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Whoever.
Our birthday dinners.
Our birthday dinners. There you go.
There you go.
So we'll see.
So,
but yeah, they've got to announce something at Comic-Con this week.
Yeah. So something I read recently that broke my heart very much so. Geoff Johns, the head of, the head over DC Entertainment,
mm-hmm.
has officially gone on the record and said that no
crossover.
The television and cinematic universes for DC will not cross over.
Bastards. So that means we're going to have two Flashes.
Two Flashes, two Green Lanterns.
They really have no clue, do they?
Yeah.
They'll be two Green Arrows. They might leave Green Arrow out of the cinematic universe.
That's true.
I don't think they can leave Flash out of the cinematic universe, but I just think that's a, I don't know. I'm not a fan of that choice. Personally.
Well, they've actually already said that they want to do a Flash Green Lantern movie.
It's on their list. I know. So that means that they're going to be creating a separate version of the Flash that's not played by, a guy whose name I keep forgetting.
The young guy.
Grant Gustin or something like that. Mm-hmm. Will not be played by him, played by someone else in the movies. And so have these two parallel continuities that don't fit together.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
I mean, I get it. I get it from the standpoint that it allows them a greater degree of freedom, that they don't have to try to tether these things together and keep that continuity. That allows them to do things in the show that don't have to be reflected in the movie universe.
But then again, all of that is what is actually making Marvel's movies so much money, because you've got that continuity and you can go back and forth and you get excited.
Absolutely. But I think the reason that Marvel can do it and get away with this is because they did it in the other order, because they did the movies first. And they're keeping the television universe relatively small so far. So they've found a formula that's going to work for them. Whereas with cinematic, with DC, the shows are already established and establishing characters that they don't want to have to stick to that canon necessarily when they get to that point in the movie universe, if they do. Because it also, here's the other problem with that is, so looking at the universe that they've created, or looking at the things they've talked about for this upcoming DC movie, we have Ben Affleck playing a grizzled older Batman. That's been established, right?
Mm-hmm.
So with that, and also that there's already some inklings of a Justice League coming together. If all that were true and carried over into and melded with the universe we're seeing on the small screen, then you would see ripple effects of that already. You would see, like, why wouldn't you have Batman visiting Starling City and giving Green Arrow some pointers? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, other things like that. Or intervening in things in Central City, with the Flash. Like, you'd see some of that sort of interruption of things or intervention of things or crossover of things that you're not going to see, because they're not gonna, first of all, you're not gonna see Ben Affleck on the small screen. And secondly, it's too,
his chin wouldn't fit.
It's too complex for them to really figure out writing wise. They don't want to be constrained by it. So I get the decision, but I'm not a fan of the decision.
Right, because there would have already been a mention on Arrow about the alien visitation that happened last summer.
Exactly. That would somehow tie in as well, and it hasn't.
Right.
So.
Not if they bring in Men in Black, too.
I think, though, again, I understand the decision, and again, I'm with you. I don't agree. I also kind of feel, and maybe I'm going out on a limb by saying this, it's also one of the things I kind of feel DC's always had an issue with, is they're not so concerned about making sure they have a unified vision and representation of their characters all the time. Like, yes, there's reinterpretation, but there should be key aspects of the character that are always true, so that if they need to tie the TV and movie universe together, it's a little more easy because they followed the same architecture.
Right.
But,
right, and that's been evident in a couple ways. Like, for instance, the fact that they did, the Arrow show was, no more than a couple years after Smallville ended.
Right.
And yet, where they had already established a version of Green Arrow, and they just threw that out the window.
Right, exactly. Yes. And, it's funny, speaking of Arrow, those who are fans of DC should be well aware of who Neil Adams is. He was just recently on Fat Man on Batman, and he was talking about a couple different things. And the one thing that he was talking about was Arrow. And what he had said is he was at a convention last summer. He said he couldn't remember which one it was. He thinks it was San Diego. And the writers of Arrow came up to him and said, "Hey, you know, I'm the head writer for Arrow. These guys are working on it too, and we want to know what you think." And Neil Adams said, "No, wait, you want to know what I think, or you want me to BS you?" And they said, no, we want to know what you think. He said, "Okay, the Green Arrow does not shoot people in the chest and kill them."
Yeah.
That's not how he operates. And they're like,
right, it's not his MO.
Right. And they right away they were like, yeah. No, we agree. That's changing next season. Like, no more killing for Arrow. And they followed suit on that.
Yeah.
And they said, okay, anything else? And he goes, yeah. Oliver Queen should smile once in a while.
Yeah. And those are two pretty big things. I mean, Oliver Queen and Green Arrow, he's always sort of been the sunnier version of Batman is essentially right. What, I mean, not to say his story was all happy and rosy. He similarly had the death of his parents in his past, which they've already broken tradition with from the first episode. But, so he sort of has that orphan, billionaire orphan thing going for him. But, he was the light side version of Batman. That's always sort of been his MO. And that's definitely not what the Arrow is in the TV show.
Right.
He's not happy about anything.
No, and it's,
And every time he comes close to happiness, it's a plot twist.
Right. So, and it's funny because the conversation went on a little bit longer and, Kevin Smith actually said that, they should get you to write an episode. Then he even went a step further and said, they should get you to direct an episode. So I'm with Kevin Smith. If they could get Neil Adams involved with Arrow a little bit more, that would be, every nerd's dream.
So if we see an episode next season with a boxer's glove arrow shooting out, then you'll know that Neil Adams might have been involved.
Yes, possibly. So I think that's all I had on the docket for this week, guys.
There have been some other casting things thrown about with those shows, by the way.
Oh yeah,
we haven't really talked about those.
That's true. We haven't really talked about those in a while. So why don't you mention? Let's see. They did. There was a couple. There was a. Go ahead.
There was at least one. Brandon Routh, known for his roles in Superman Returns as Superman, as well as being in Chuck as the bad guy for at least one season.
He was also in Pilgrim.
He was also in Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
One of the evil
X number three, I believe. Yes, the vegan. Yes. He will be joining the cast of Arrow, and sort of being, as the character of, I forget the name of the guy, but basically the guy.
His name becomes, is I'm Not Superman.
He becomes the Atom, that guy, whatever that character's name is in the comics. And yes, I know I suck at DC trivia. But he'll be playing that part and presumably somehow his origin to becoming the Atom might be resolved in that story arc, I would imagine, or at least teased.
So in this case, is it that the Arrow is the radioactive waste, and everybody who comes on the show walks away with powers?
He's the hero crate that they all get.
Right. Where exactly? So where
crate of radioactive arrows?
Where Clark brought all the meteor fragments. The Arrow seems to be exposing everyone to various forms of Mirakuru and turning them into their own weird creations.
Which, though, them bringing the Atom on even more cements, go back to the first season, no powers. That was their mantra, and they retreated from that quickly.
Well, I think they realized that they had that it limited them. It gave them limitations. And so they wanted to, I think it's a combination of they knew there was an effort that they wanted to go to spin off this Flash show.
Mm-hmm.
And that in and of itself would introduce the idea of powered characters. So why not go ahead and embrace it and come up with a story arc that introduces abilities for powers to be created in this world? That doesn't mean we're going to keep seeing a lot of powered characters. Who knows? Right. They'll find some way to manage it, I'm sure. But I think that they're going to keep teasing some of those things. There's apparently we may end up seeing Ted Kord show up related to one of these shows.
Oh my.
And maybe various other characters. The other thing that I don't know if I've said it on this show, but I know I've said it to you guys before. And that is that my current theory that I'm holding to regarding, the role of Ted Kavanaugh or Tom Kavanaugh in the Flash show, his character name in the show is Harrison Wells, which is very similar to H.G. Wells.
Oh, that's right.
And so my thinking is that he is not of this time. He is a time traveler and may bear out to be Booster Gold. That's just my theory.
So he is radioactive. Okay.
Anyway, maybe be an interesting choice for Booster Gold. There is something actually speaking to, we haven't talked about this. I've seen this pop up a couple times online. I don't like the idea.
Okay.
It's something switching over to Fox and Gotham.
Mm.
One of the rumors around the Gotham show is they're going to introduce over the course of the series several different people who could possibly become the Joker.
Hmm. That's weird.
Yes.
I'm not sure how I feel about that. I don't think that makes sense. Cause I think honestly, you know, the Joker's origin has been shrouded in mystery for as long as the Joker's existed. And there's a reason for that. I think it fits. It's part of his persona and part of his character. And right. I don't think we should know who he is. I don't think we should have any teases to who he is. And honestly, I think that one of the big factors and the reason that we don't know who he is because it doesn't matter.
Right.
His previous persona is unimportant because the Joker isn't anything without, Batman as his counter. So, you know, he exists to bring chaos to the order that Batman is trying to foster. And, you know, along those lines, it's been said, like there, I read an article recently that talked about all the people that know who Batman's secret identity is. Mm-hmm. It's been posited that the Joker does.
Oh yeah.
But doesn't care because right. Bruce Wayne is boring and, you know, Batman is who's interesting. So, yeah, I'm not a fan of that either. I don't think they should do that. I mean, if they want to, I don't know. I just think it's going to detract from the show. I'm also not a fan of, I'm going to watch the show probably, but I have my reservations. Like for instance, like the fact that they're introducing Catwoman and some of the other kid characters that they're introducing, I don't see a point in that. Especially, apparently, they're introducing a variation on Poison Ivy, but it's the character doesn't have the name of the character who becomes Poison Ivy.
Right.
Like, her name is actually Ivy, which doesn't fit.
Unless there's a... I mean, it could either be that ends up being a nickname, or is it going to be one of those, like, she ends up being involved with the creation of Poison Ivy, but she isn't actually Poison Ivy.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, we haven't seen anything yet from it. It could be all smoke and mirrors at this point. We don't know.
Regardless, it's still dumb.
And again, but the final thought on the Joker thing is also not only that it doesn't matter who he is, it's one of the things that kind of, not knowing who he is, it's one of the things that kind of gives Joker his power, so to speak, one of the things that makes him scary because it's like.
Because he's this unknown, but by being unknown, he's more of a wild card.
It's a proven fact in human psychology that once you know the truth about something, it's not scary.
It becomes less scary. Yeah.
Right. So if you
once
don't.
Once you give it a name.
Right.
Right.
And it's also something like with a contrary example, Mr. Freeze, that, Batman can use Nora against him.
Yeah.
To stop him in his madness. He has a point of leverage. The Joker, there is no point of leverage because he doesn't know anything about who he really was before he became the Joker. Yeah. So it's also, it's also keeping the mystery keeps him scary. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, the fact that he can exist in the world with this ultimate detective who can figure out anything and can't figure out the identity of this one villain. It says something.
So along those lines, as we're wrapping it up here, cause this is, you know, we're going on a little over an hour here now, guys.
Yep.
bringing it back to Neil Adams, he actually just recently stated who he thought would be the perfect person to play the Joker in the new cinematic universe that they're establishing. And I thought it'd be someone that you, Ben, and you, John, would get a huge kick out of. Matt Smith.
It's an interesting choice. What are your thoughts, John?
Wait, I just got blown. Matt Smith is, oh boy.
Not is, suggested to me. Suggested. Not necessarily a done deal. Just Neil Adams said that it would be his casting choice.
I think Matt Smith has some chops. I think he could do it.
Oh yeah, I think he does. It'd be weird to see him in that role, but I think he could do it. I think he's got the capability for it. But it would ruin him. Like, you know, he's the doctor. To see him as something other than the doctor is just would feel weird.
But as an actor,
unless he's that good.
Well, right. I'm just saying, I'd be perfectly happy never seeing Matt Smith in anything again. so I can preserve that memory in my mind of him as the doctor.
That's the whole point. As an actor, he might want to do that so he can wash the thought of him being the doctor out of everyone's minds for a while.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I think he likes being the doctor.
He can like being the doctor, but like wanting to be other people too.
Perhaps.
So I'm gonna pose that question to our audience. This is not the Stump the Geek. This is just
Random opinion poll.
Dave's random opinion poll, given Ben Affleck as Batman. And I don't, you know, don't tell me Jason Mewes, don't tell me Matt Damon, or Kevin Smith as the Joker. Who do you honestly think would be a good actor to play the Joker? You know, we would like to hear that. So tweet it at us, post it on our Facebook. You know, who is your pick for the Joker? So.
Right. Tweet it at hashtag SHS drop.
Wait, what, John?
Mark Hamill.
He's a little old to be playing a live action Joker.
Just use the voice. That's all you need.
He's also a little busy.
I know. Yeah, I know. And I know he said that he never wanted to do that voice again, but man, you know, that was like the perfect Joker voice ever.
All right.
I just made you a hashtag, Dave.
What was the hashtag again?
SHS drop. Dave's random opinion poll.
I like that. SHS drop. We're going to use that.
There you go.
All right. So there you go. The birth of a hashtag. And on that note, boys and girls, as always, don't let your cape get caught in the door. Have a good week. Speaking of capes, you can tug on ours by joining the conversation on Facebook, Twitter, or Google+ at Superhero Speak. If you have any comments on my bad jokes, you can email me at dave@superheroespeak.com.
You can also subscribe to our podcast through iTunes, Stitcher, and various other channels. Or if you'd like to tease the beard of knowledge, you can email me at ben@superheroespeak.com.
We also occasionally rant about things on our website, superheroespeak.com. Or, if you'd like to further discuss the prowess of Rainbow Dash versus anybody in the greater geek universe, you can email me at john@superheroespeak.com.
And don't forget to check out our Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. companion show, Agents of Speak, which you can watch live most Tuesdays around 9 p.m. on our Google+ page, or archived on our YouTube channel. Now let go of our cape.